Employment of writers and authors is projected to grow consistently, with the average for all occupations between now and 2026. We're talking about job prospects for writers here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In fields related to creative writing, the Labor Department projects 11% growth in jobs for technical writers and 10% growth in public relations and fundraising. So with these numbers in mind, UW Green Bay is launching a new Bachelor of Fine Arts in Writing and Applied Arts. Rebecca Meacham is a professor and chair of English at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, where she also directs the creative writing program. Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you very much. It's so nice to hear you say all of that out loud, that the dream has finally come true.
Well, yeah, we kind of got a little bit of whiplash when we saw this degree come through in the news release. What is this Bachelor of Fine Arts in Writing and Applied Arts?
I am so excited to tell you. Well, it's the BFA in Writing and Applied Arts, and it's a 48-credit program of study. And so it's broken down into two components. One of those is kind of craft-focused, and so that's where the F, the fine arts part, comes in. And so for that element of the degree, students will be taking kind of a traditional creative writing emphasis in lots of workshops, studying all the good stuff of creative writing and craft, like creating characters and developing conflict and working on imagery and going through the writing process. And so there'll be quite a number of different genres of workshops. We do boast one of the few undergraduate novel writing workshops in the United States. And so in that class in particular, which is really popular, students write 50,000 word drafts of a novel in progress in about a semester, so that's a really fun one to do. But they'll also be getting experience in other kinds of genres, like doing screenplays, ideally. We're hiring right now, and we're looking for someone who can help our students do different things with narrative and different things with storytelling. And then the different part of this is kind of the second component, which is that it's community-facing. And so that's the applied arts part of this. And so we will be hopefully giving students service learning opportunities and applied internships in digital and print publishing, small press management, regional events planning, and digital and public humanities, and all sorts of other elements that help enrich the community and give some professional skills that they can articulate to employers.
So where is technical writing in this mix? Because that's kind of its own animal.
It is, and it's a part. We're engaging in some collaborative programming with our local technical college, NWTC, to kind of make that a prong of this, or one of the elements through the applied arts section of this. But it's a little separate because, of course, the craft of writing really is, at least in traditional terms, and the way we're looking at it, is like deeply immersing a student in all the elements of inspiration, critique, revision, workshop, refinement of language, thinking about audience awareness. And it's not that tech writing doesn't do that. It's just not traditionally something that I tend to pull through that craft workshop focus.
Well, bringing a degree to the offerings is a big process. Why did UW Green Bay want to offer this degree?
Well, we kind of had a lot of factors already in place, and so UWGB is kind of a great place to try out new things. So we have these interdisciplinary origins about how our kind of quote-unquote hippie college was founded years and years ago. even down to the design of the architecture that people would be naturally sort of gathered into corners of the campus to have conversations across disciplines. And so this really fosters a spirit of collaboration, which has been fantastic and which has endured through time. And so I have meetings myself with, most of the time, with all sorts of people in the humanities. My next-door neighbor is, in terms of my office, is a world-renowned history professor on one side, and then on the other side of me is a Spanish professor. And so UWGB really has a spirit of collaborative faculty and interdisciplinary ideas. And so speaking with my colleagues in art and arts management and design arts and English and humanities and all across the university, even our archivists, our instructional technologists, there was this spirit that, you know, we can try to do something different and creative and really build out on this. And so it's a kind of unique place to be able to build. We also just merged with three other campuses. So we now have branches in Marinette, Manitowoc, and Sheboygan. And so this will be the first degree that we're going to try to be offering across all four of those, or all four of our campuses. And so with that merger, English and writing really lucked out because we acquired not, we already had this incredible faculty in English and writing and arts and all this other great stuff. But then we acquired five new colleagues in English who teach writing, as well as some really wonderful arts professors and printmaking professors and people who can help with some of that applied arts element and bookmaking and printmaking that we seek to accomplish with this degree as well.
Rebecca Meacham is an English professor at UW-Green Bay. We're talking about a new bachelor's degree that's focused on writing that it will launch next year. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Are you an employer looking to hire writers or people with strong writing skills? Are you someone with a writing degree? How has it worked out for you? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Rebecca, it said in the press release that we are truly in the midst of a renaissance period for writers. How do you see this? Where is this coming from?
Okay, so I'm going to just play the non-academic or non-stereotype academic and say that I love entertainment and television and storytelling that's coming into me through my ears and my eyes and so forth. And so if you just look around at what kinds of stories are dominating our attention, just in entertainment, we'll just take that little part. So many of the stories that are out there are like Game of Thrones or Handmaid's Tale that are turning into these streaming platforms where you can get a television show I'm an old timer, so I want to say a television show at any time of the day, and I find that to be like remarkable. And so it's a renaissance because we have this ability to consume just great stories and great writing and great storytelling on so many different platforms. I'm hooked on podcasts right now. I keep go through them so quickly that I keep burning through these long-form podcasts, serialized podcasts. And I love what they're doing with narrative and how they're unfolding a story bit by bit. I'm really interested in all kinds of different stories that way. And so just in the realm of entertainment, I think of even Hamilton, which, of course, is the best thing ever, and how Lin-Manuel Miranda, my husband, put it the other day. He's a one-man industry, and his ideas and his talents keep creating more music and more stage and more lyrics for people and more stories for people. And to boot, Hamilton, this highly popular musical, literally the subject is a writer who was a founding father because he was a writer. I mean, you can't ask for a whole better combination. So I see that being something, and I also see this attention to journalism, which we're working on components of the degree to be bringing in some long-form narrative and some creative nonfiction. And so the fact that Time Magazine's People of the Year, I think, were these four journalists, that there's all this attention to storytelling and the ability of writers to, you know, shine light into dark places and to give voices to the undervoiced, it's tremendously important right now. And we have so many ways of getting to those stories and consuming those stories and being affected by those stories and making changes because of those stories.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Jennifer joining us from Madison. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Rebecca. It's Jennifer Rosenheim.
Hi, Jennifer Rosenheim. Nice to hear you.
Good morning. I am a graduate of an MFA program, and I was kind of pressured to go into a PhD program, which I didn't end up doing, but I'm very excited about your program. And wanted you to maybe talk a little bit about why it's important to have a BFA program and not necessarily, I mean, obviously people have the opportunity to go into an MFA or a PhD, but why is it important at the
baccalaureate
BFA
level? Yeah. Great question, Jennifer.
That's a great question, Jennifer. Thank you for asking it. I kind of want to take that on a level of what people will do with this, because I think you're talking about a path that I want to kind of avoid for, like, not as the only path, I guess I should say, for the people who graduate from the BFA. That traditional path would be to say, go to graduate school and then go write your amazing story and then sell it somehow, and then you're a writer. And there's a lot of gaps, I think, in that process. MFAs, for example, I don't know where I found this statistic, but that it seems, at least in my case and the people who graduated from my program, one of whom won a Pulitzer not long ago, Anthony Doerr, it takes about 10 years for someone to graduate from an MFA program to then have their book publication or, I mean, this is an average. And so you have this like, what seems like a direct path. I was a writer, I went to school to be a writer, and then I'm going to be a writer, and I'm going to be successful. And that's really a difficult path to find given all of the factors that are out there. And I'm sure Jennifer knows about these as well as I do, because I'm a writer as well. So the BFA is designed, especially that applied arts component, is designed to give students 9 credits of applied learning and internships and leadership roles in publications. We have a teaching press on our campus where we literally make and print books, and we have clients from the community, and students are project managers. We have one of the best international Journal of the Arts that's undergrad staffed, that's been in existence from the founding of our university, Sheep's Head Review. And so students through this program, plus a number of other community-facing opportunities, like working for book festivals, like working with underserved voices in the region by creating workshops in the community for aging populations, for veterans. All of those are going to translate, I think, into finding more opportunities for writers to use their skills of reading and writing and to be able to do something other than feel obligated to create that bestseller or that Pulitzer Prize winner or that kind of a thing. So I'm not sure if I totally answered your question, but that's how I see the arc of the degree.
We're talking about UW-Green Bay's BFA in Writing and Fine Arts that will launch next year. Rebecca Meacham stays with us. She's a professor and chair of English at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, where she also directs the Creative Writing Program. You can join in 800-642-1234. Are you an employer looking to hire writers? Where do you see gaps? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. UW-Green Bay's BFA in Writing and Fine Arts is a rare degree. Only 42 colleges in the U.S. offer it. We're talking about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The degree is supposed to be a training ground for jobs in nonfiction writing, for screenwriting, podcasting, editing, publishing, other arts industry professions. We're learning about what the market will bear for writers here in Wisconsin as well with Rebecca Meacham. She's professor and chair of English at UW-Green Bay. Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. What writing skills do you think perhaps fall short in your line of work? Do you have a difficult time finding the particular writing background you need to fill jobs? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Mike now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hello there. I'm a technical writer. I've been in the field since 1988. And what I've seen is the field transition from being a desktop publishing, creative-oriented field to more of a data-driven field. And writers are expected now to use technology such as XML and the DITA format to complete not necessarily entire manuals, but segments of manuals that can be repurposed, reused. The data world is affecting every profession, including ours, and the days of just writing a book from the front cover to the back are, for a lot of environments, especially large companies that offer good opportunities, that's over. People instead are going to be writing chunks of information that can be reused, and they need those special skills to succeed in the future.
Mike, thanks for your thoughts. Rebecca, data, what is it doing to writing?
Oh, this is I'm not so sure I can speak entirely to data, but I can talk about technology in writing, if that's okay, because I love what Mike was saying. It's true that so much is changing about writing in all areas, and I imagine technical writing is completely different. So I wanted to speak a bit about some of the things that our writers are doing that seem sort of outside or maybe applied arts part of this. And so right now I'm teaching a capstone course for our seniors in English. It's the first time we're doing this. And they're all supposed to try to figure out something that they can do to kind of enlarge this and enrich the greater community to a community-based learning project. Doing something like taking their love of reading and writing and kind of making the world better is the humble goal of these students. And so in that class, I have a student named Kryn who is actually trying to figure out, for example, she loves Little Free Libraries. And she's a writer, and she's a managing editor for our publication. She does all kinds of interesting things. But she loves Little Free Libraries, which started here in Wisconsin, by the way, and those little mm-hmm. libraries that are everywhere. And so she wanted to figure out, every time she would try to figure out where one was or if one was nearby her, she would have to go to the website. And so she wrote to the people who run Little Free Libraries, and she worked out an agreement with them. And she taught herself how to build an app that now she is running, and she's customizing and figuring it out. It's rated E for everyone. She's very excited about that. Where if you're on your phone and you want to know where the nearest Little Free Libraries is, then you can find it in this app that my English student, who's a writer, taught herself how to build. And so what I love about this degree is that it kind of enlarges the connection between the writer and their greater audience through multiple platforms and multiple ways of having those ongoing skill-building opportunities. One of the other things that UW Green Bay has that this program's taking advantage of is a program in the digital and public humanities. And so we have a professor, for example, in English who's going to be doing a book editing practicum for us, and she's been doing a whole years-long project that takes the original Penny Dreadful, that, you know, Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street, like super cool serial killer story. And so she's had students over years working on TEI encoding the script and the text of that so that it's publicly available and searchable with all this metadata. And then they're editing and learning about how to put together a manuscript, how to add notes in. They're researching the chapters and the terms they're using, and they each get a segment or a chapter of this larger text, and they're using technical skills that they can then turn around and say, I know how to TEI encode, and I learned how to do this as a writing major or an English major at my state university.
Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go to Ben now, joining us from Wanakee. Hi, Ben.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to comment upon, I guess, the importance and the craft of writing. Writing obviously runs across the curriculum for every student, may that be in college or K through 12. That said, the idea of really having kids sit in a workshop to learn to write, as you said, for different audiences, and really go through the process of revision, I think nowadays is more important than ever, because I think the temptation to just write and then publish it somewhere on the internet and you're done, it's almost a delay of gratification moment that needs to take place in this writing workshop until the writer has assured him or herself that this piece of writing is perfect and now I can put it up. So just wanted to hear your thoughts on that, and thank you so much for this program.
Ben, thanks for the call. He really sees writing as a process, Rebecca, and honing it.
It is. It's true. My sort of philosophy when I teach an intro to creative writing class is to disabuse students of the notion that writing is fun and easy and just comes right out and then it's perfect. So I love this caller's comments. It's wonderful. So what we do in a workshop and what we do in a creative writing curriculum is really work through all of those phases. And one of the skills I was telling my capstone students that they need to tell employers just to articulate what it is you get out of a writing workshop or a writing curriculum is the skill of first, failure, and second, resilience. And so it's not an immediate, I wrote this thing and it's amazing and I can publish it and everyone will like it or whatever, you know, out there in the world of social media. That's great. I think that's actually a really good tool to use to get audience feedback and to kind of get your confidence up. But in a workshop in a college classroom, you're learning skills of what you consider to be artistic. Or even if you have a class, my novel writing workshop right now, we have someone who wrote a Western, someone who wrote a comic book, young adult sort of set novel. We have some literary realism. And in that workshop, we're all in the same place. Everyone's trying to articulate and identify, like, what are the standards of beauty and greatness and goodness in the kind of story I want to tell. And then they critique one another, and I critique them, and they receive feedback, and they have to go back and revise. And so it's a discipline, and this is the part of craft that I think is key, is learning that discipline. And then in the craft workshops that I run, I also try to teach sustainable writing practices, which sounds like a really unartsy term for what's really important for a writer. So that is, how do we keep writing and finding inspiration and learning how to look at our work critically and seek out audiences to give us feedback when we're outside of this college classroom, outside of deadlines that are set by other people? How do we learn that internally? So that's another aspect of that discipline that I think a workshop can do uniquely, that just writing something and posting it and getting feedback or getting like likes immediately or validation immediately, that just can't account for.
Rebecca, as we start to wrap up here, we've seen the pokes at starving English majors through the years. What is the reality, though? What have you been hearing from businesses in the Fox Valley about the need for writers? Are there jobs out there?
I think when I was researching this degree, I did identify that there were jobs. I think that some of those jobs, I think if you're looking straight for a writing job where you're going to sit and you're going to write all day, what we need to do as educators and to prepare students for the market is enlarge their field of vision a little bit. And what other skills do you have? I'll tell you, this degree came from a lot of places, but one of the places came from a local hospice that actually someone came to me and said, we want you to find a way to have your students tell the stories of our patients. And so a whole class and a whole emphasis in oral history came out of that conversation and a new entire experience for students. And that's not a direct line. That's a storytelling way in, but it's not a direct line to I am going to be the writer for this publication job. Go ahead.
Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time.
Oh, thank you.
Rebecca Meacham is professor and chair of English at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, where she also directs the creative writing program. We've been talking about their new writing program at UW-Green Bay. Just ahead, if you're flying with an emotional support animal this weekend, you're not alone. Airlines have seen a huge increase of passengers with them, and we'll look at that trend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.